May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy to yours in Jesus Christ, the one who truly gives us rest for our souls this day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Matthew 11. Let us pray as we hear the Word of God. Lord, we cannot live on mere bread alone, but only on every word that comes from your mouth. So feed us, your people, this day with your strong, life-giving, forgiving word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up, do you know what animal I was compared to? That's a dangerous question. Be nice. In early church today, someone said a bear. I thought that was pretty good. Well, I was often compared to an ox. That was one of my nicknames. I don't know why they called me ox. My brother, older brother Dave, thought he was Paul Bunyan, and I was Paul, his big blue ox, I guess. Not really endearing, not really nice. And yet, as I read the gospel lesson, Jesus, if you will, compares us, the church, to oxen. The most common metaphor for the church animal-wise in the Bible is sheep. We are sheep, we have a good shepherd, Jesus. That's very common. But here, he refers to us, if you will, as oxen. His words, come, I'll give you rest, and take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What animal do you put a yoke on? An ox. Very common picture in Jesus' day. As you walked along, you'd see a farmer out there with his oxen and a yoke on the oxen. That's the picture Jesus uses here. We are oxen. He's our master. He's the farmer. He owns us. He paid for us with his own blood at the cross. We belong to him. We are to serve him, submit to him, work for him. And we do it with great joy and gladness. And as our master, he's placed a yoke on us. Now, that doesn't sound very good, especially on Independence Day weekend. This is the weekend that we thank God that we're independent. We don't have any yoke over us. We're American. We have no yoke. We're independent. We're strong. The greatest nation on earth. We are free. We have no yoke. And it's kind of interesting to me how the gospel today tells us, yes, you do have a yoke and you need a yoke. And it's the yoke of Jesus. And this is a yoke that we as Christians want. Without this yoke, we are wild oxen that run all over the place and destroy ourselves and run over a cliff and kill ourselves. How we need the yoke of Jesus. Let me say three things about this yoke. We are people that are yoked. We're not independent, really. We're dependent. Three things about this yoke. First of all, this yoke of Jesus indeed sets us free. That sounds contradictory. A yoke we think of as inhibiting someone, enslaving someone, burdening someone. But this yoke sets us free. There are two yokes that God places on people in the Bible. One yoke crushes us. This is a heavy, heavy, heavy yoke on us oxen. And the minute it lands on us, it crushes us. We cannot move one foot. It breaks our legs, breaks our ankles. It squishes us and beats us down in the mud and muck. 3 feet under, we're already dying. We're losing our breath. It crushes us. We can't move. We're dying oxen. And that's called the yoke of the law. Mount Sinai, there God puts the yoke of the law on people, knowing it will crush them, but they need to be crushed because they're proud people that think they can do everything. I'm going to go off and live in wild ways. So he crushes us. I'm not going to let you run off. I'm going to crush you. Bring you down the dirt that you want me as your master. That's the law that crushes us. Be perfect. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you think, well, I'm pretty perfect, Pastor. I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. You're a liar. You're a liar. You think you love God and you love your neighbor and you're perfect and you keep the commandments. You're a flat-out liar. God would use that heavy law, that heavy yoke to crush us. We're stuck in the mud of our sin and our guilt and our evil and we can't budge and our legs are broken and we're dying. But he is a good master. He doesn't say, well, get rid of that ox, kick it over the cliff, kill it, I'll get another one. He loves us broken oxen. And so Jesus comes and he says, I have a new yoke for you. And it's the yoke of the gospel. And with this yoke, he takes the heavy yoke of the law off of our shoulders. Only he can do it because he's God. Only he can lift that burden. He carries the heavy yoke of the law off of us, puts it on himself. He carries it for us and puts on us a new yoke, the gospel, love, forgiveness, grace. And with that new light yoke, Jesus uses the word light. It's almost like you don't even feel it. It's light. He pulls us up from the mud and the muck 3 feet under, washes us, cleanses us, heals our wounds, and lets us work for him. And that yoke frees us, you see. If you're an oxen, you say, I'm free, I'm healed, I'm out of the mud and muck, I now can work, I'm free. Thank you for that yoke, Jesus, the yoke of the gospel. Placed on us when we're baptized. We have it on today, don't we? When is Independence Day? When really is Independence Day? It is not tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow is Independence Day with a little tiny I. We're free from England. Well, big deal. I know it's a pretty big deal. We're thankful for it. Eat your hamburgers, eat your hot dogs, drink your Budweiser, have a fun time. Thank God for all the freedoms we have, as I told the kids. It's a good thing to do. It's a small I, that independence. You can be an American and go to hell. But I'm an American. God's going to say, you still go to hell. I don't care if you're an American or Chinese or Japanese. You go to hell if you don't have Jesus. You don't have the real independence, the capital I. And that Independence Day is Good Friday. So I want you as a Christian at your gathering tomorrow, whoever you're with, having your hamburger, your hot dog, to say, you know, today really is an Independence Day for me. Good Friday is my Independence Day, where my Savior, my Master, took upon himself the heavy yoke of the law and my sin and my death and pulled me up and set me free. Secondly, this yoke of Jesus fits us perfectly. It frees us and then it fits us perfectly. It's not too big. It's not too small. It fits perfectly so we can do our work for him with great gladness. Jesus uses the word easy. My yoke is easy. He uses two words, light and easy. Light implies grace and forgiveness, freeing us. And now easy literally means comfortable or well-fitting. My yoke fits well. My yoke is comfortable. It's not too tight and restrictive where it hurts you and your burden, nor is it too loose and lets you go wherever you want to go. And you get in trouble that way too. It fits perfectly. In Jesus' day, of course, as they probably do today, I'm sure, if they use animals somewhere in farming, they would measure the ox, measure its shoulders, its neck, and they would make a yoke specifically for that ox. You wouldn't just give any old, throw that yoke on them, it may not fit. Wouldn't work well. The ox is not going to work for you. So they'd measure so they could make a yoke perfectly for that ox. Has to fit perfectly so he does his work well and efficiently. And so the idea here is the Lord, the gospel of forgiveness and salvation meets our every need. It fits us perfectly in our lives. It meets our every need. There's nothing that it lacks nothing for us. You need salvation. The gospel saves you from sin, death, and hell. What else do you want? Is there a greater salvation than from sin, death, and hell? You're dying. You have cancer. You're dying. The gospel assures you you're going to go to heaven, the resurrection of your body and eternal life. It fits, you see, for dying people. You lack peace. The gospel gives you that peace that transcends all human understanding. It fits when we need peace, you see. You need strength. You're weak. The gospel is our strength. Christ is our rock, our support, our strength, our refuge in all things. He's at my foundation. It fits when I need strength. I need hope. I need hope. It gives me great hope, the sure and certain hope of eternal life. It fits that need when I'm in despair and I'm discouraged and I need hope. It fits. I need forgiveness. I feel so much guilt over my wretchedness. I'm like St. Paul. What a wretched man I am. I continue to sin and sin and sin all the time. I need forgiveness. It fits. For it grants forgiveness this day for all sin. It's washed away. You need wisdom, guidance. The Word of God gives wisdom and guidance. It fits for every situation. The perfect fit for all of life on into eternity. You know, Ann and I had our 25th anniversary Tuesday. So the romantic devil that I am, I got her a new diamond ring. When I first engaged her, I was in college, and college guys don't have a lot of money. But I had to engage her in college because I was afraid some other guy was going to swoop in and grab her. I had to get her when I could get her, right? So it was a little tiny diamond, and she took it. But it's time for an upgrade. So I got her a new, bigger diamond, and all excited. Tuesday, she opens it up. Oh, you got me a new ring. Wow, honey, thank you. It's bigger. Wow, look at that thing. It's incredible. Puts it on our finger and what happens, Pat? It doesn't fit. You're off a half size, buddy. And it slips around her finger and kind of covers up her wedding band. It's too big. So what did we do? Well, we went back and got it fixed. But did she wear it that day? No, might slip off. It's of no use right now. I can't wear it because I'm too afraid I'll lose it. Put it in the jewelry box. So if the gospel is this wonderful thing that's out there, but it doesn't fit my life, it doesn't apply to me, it's over here in the corner, what good is it? If the gospel can't help me when I have cancer, what good is it? If it can't help me when I'm dying at death's door, what good is it? It can't help me when I'm in despair over my guilt, what good is it? When tragedy strikes, when I find out that my life is a wreck, what good is it if it can't help me in those times of need? But it does. It fits perfectly. And last of all, the yoke that Christ puts on us keeps our focus. It frees us. It frees us. It fits perfectly, and it keeps us focused on the task ahead. Another reason why you put a yoke over an ox is to keep it focused. So it doesn't look that way and that way and go off and do all sorts of stuff. That's what an ox will do if you don't have him a yoke on him. He'll do whatever he wants to do. He's too big for you. So the yoke would keep its head down. I'm not a farmer. I think it keep its head down and straight and looking at the field. This is your work. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. You're to keep your head down and do the work. Straight ahead and plant the seed, farmer. You want to keep it focused on the task at hand. And that is the gospel. The law doesn't keep us focused. The law just terrifies the hell out of us, if you will. It does. Terrifies us. I'm scared. Oh my, the law! It's the gospel that keeps us focused. The gospel compels me. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I have Christ, my master, who loves me and has saved me. Pull me up in the muck. Now he keeps me focused on the task at hand, which is to save lost souls. To plant the seed of the word of God. I was watching the Antique Roadshow the other day. That's a neat little show that Ann and I watch sometimes. And they had a fellow on there who had his high school diploma. And he was just a regular guy, not a famous guy. But he had seven presidents who had signed his high school diploma. They think this is the document that has the most presidential signatures on it than any other document of that many. Seven presidents signing the same thing. This thing's worth $40,000-$50,000, they say. He has the two Bushes and Clinton. I think he tried to erase Clinton's, but he didn't get that done. That's my political joke for the day. He had, I believe, Carter on there, and I think he had Kennedy and Johnson on there. And some of them are fading away. Seven names of famous people. $40,000 to $50,000. I'd sell it like that, wouldn't you? Give the money to mission. You have a famous name, it's worth something. You have a famous name, it's priceless. And we, dear friends, have the name that is above every name. It's a living name. It's a man who lives, who's conquered sin, death, and hell, who is the Son of God. And what's that man's name, church? His name is Jesus. Go spread the saving, forgiving name of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, that all would have his name written on their foreheads and upon their hearts in holy baptism and would believe. Many people tomorrow will have hamburgers and hot dogs and watch fireworks, but they're not independent at all. They are in slavery to sin and unbelief and wickedness. They're slaves, many people. We're free in Christ. Many that do not believe are slaves to their own sinful flesh and slaves to unbelief. They're not independent in any way at all. Go spread the name of Jesus that all would be free, that all would know the forgiveness of sins. It's the priceless name. So, First Lutheran Church, my fellow oxen, have a good day, oxen. Not a real nice name, but enduring when we have Christ as our master. Hear again the wonderful news from our master. Come to me, all who labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle, lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Praise be to Jesus, our master. Amen. We stand.